Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Wednesday was the feast of the Epiphany of our Lord. The appointed gospel told of God manifesting his Son to the Magi, leading them first by a star and then through his word to the baby Jesus. This revealing of Jesus as the Son of God and Savior of the world is a continuing theme throughout the season of Epiphany. During these weeks, the readings make plain that Jesus is the eternal Word of God in human flesh, the Son of God, in whom we see God's glory, his mercy and grace for sinners. Today, Epiphany comes on the banks of the Jordan River, where the forerunner John was baptizing great crowds and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. In some ways, this was a strange place for God to reveal his glory. It's not that he had never revealed his saving power here before. When he had first brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the Promised Land, this is where the Lord had stopped the river from flowing, so that his people could cross into Canaan on dry ground. While the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant stood in the middle of the Jordan, the water rose up in a heap to the north and stayed there until the people had crossed into Canaan. Only after the priests with the Ark had come up out of the riverbank did the river begin to flow again. Thus God had shown his glory here before, keeping his promises and bringing his people safe into the promised land. Still, this was a strange place for God to reveal his glory. With John's appearance, it had become a place for sinners to receive a baptism of repentance so that they would be ready to enter into the kingdom of God. All those he baptized had come confessing their sins. Yet Jesus, who had no sin, came now for baptism like all the rest. And he was baptized by John in the Jordan. When you read this briefest account of St. Mark, you have to wonder what this was all about. Why did Jesus come and submit to a sinner's baptism? Why did one who needed no forgiveness willingly receive a baptism for the forgiveness of sins? The other two evangelists record rather direct answers, but not Mark. All that he tells us is that when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." What does this mean? What's its significance? At the most basic level, this is another epiphany of Jesus as the Son of God. We hear his Father speak from heaven, vouching for Jesus as his Son and voicing his approval of what Jesus is doing. We see also the anointing of Jesus with the Holy Spirit, who descended on him like a dove as he returned to the riverbank. This epiphany is certainly no small thing. There couldn't be much clearer evidence that Jesus truly is God incarnate, or that he is indeed the promised Messiah, the promised anointed one. This means that all of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the prophet like Moses, the coming one, the messenger of the covenant, the servant of the Lord who would preach good news and who would be wounded for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, all of these promises were fulfilled in Jesus. The Spirit who descended and rested on Jesus was none other than the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus is the Lord's anointed, his special servant whom he had chosen to come and redeem sinners and open for them the kingdom of heaven. Yet there's more than just this basic significance to what happened there at the Jordan River. The Spirit descending and the voice from heaven, this great epiphany, came only after, seemingly in response, to Jesus being baptized. The words of the Father and the descent of the Spirit serve to underline the significance of what had just happened. But what was so special about what had just happened there in the river? From what the evangelists write, many thousands of people had come to hear John and, moved by his preaching, had repented and been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Jesus, however, was unique, different from all the rest. He wasn't baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. He was baptized so that you and I might be forgiven. Though he was sinless, though he had no blemish of his own, he humbled himself there at the Jordan before John to be counted with sinners. As he was baptized, Jesus was identifying himself with those whose hearts are polluted by hatred and lust and selfishness and pride. In his baptism, he took these deadly sins and so many more, shouldering the burden of guilt and shame for you and for every sinner. He was like a sponge as he entered the River Jordan, absorbing the sins of all those whose sins had been washed into the water. And it's not just in his baptism that this takes place. For here at the beginning of his public ministry, we already see its end foreshadowed. What started when he was circumcised on the eighth day, and when he was presented in the temple with the sacrifice of the firstborn offered for him, continues here in his baptism and reaches its zenith only at Calvary's cross. Throughout his life and in his death, Jesus accepted the burden of the law in your place, keeping it perfectly, but also bearing the punishment, due to all of those who have not kept the law. This is the great exchange. Jesus, holiness, righteousness, innocence, and blessedness for your sin and death and damnation. His life and eternal salvation for you at his expense. His sonship, his spirit, his home in heaven with the Father, all for you. Everything that was yours has become his in his baptism, so that everything of his could become yours in your baptism. The judgment of the Father concerning Jesus' baptism for you is his judgment also concerning Jesus' death for you. Looking down on the corpse on that center cross at Calvary, the Father could say, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And because of what Jesus did in your place, what he went through on your behalf, the Father can now look down on you, you who have been baptized into Jesus' death, and say, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I am well pleased." What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? St. Paul asks an important question with this. What should our response to the gift of new life we have received in Christ be? What difference does it make to us that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin? What difference does it make that he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness? St. Paul answers these questions, and his answers apply also to me and to you. He writes, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Life, true joy and freedom, come not in indulging your desires, in giving yourself once again over to slavery to sin. Life, true joy and freedom, come in Christ. United to him through holy baptism, you live day by day in repentance and faith, his strength perfecting your weakness, his righteousness making satisfaction for your sin, his innocence covering over all your guilt. In Christ, you have been forgiven, have received new life and eternal salvation. He was baptized for you and died for you to free you from sin and from death. God strengthened you by his word and sacraments to turn away from sin and to live by repentance and faith until he brings you to himself in heaven. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.